From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. It's good to have you listening in this morning. This is Alan Kern saying hello to you, and welcome once more to Let the Bible Speak. We return today to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11, to continue an important study, Jesus Christ, man's only point of contact with God. I trust you'll be able to stay with us as we have some gospel music and then get down to the study of God's Word. We start off, however, with our hot topic for today, evolutionists still telling the big lie. Ever since Charles Darwin produced his Origin of Species in 1859, evolutionists have been promoting a series of images that have gripped the popular mind and have instilled into millions the notion that science has established Darwinism and its tale of biological evolution. Things such as Haeckel's famous drawings of what he claimed were striking similarities in various types of embryos at very early stages of their development still appear in evolution-promoting textbooks. It matters little to the producers of fairy tales dressed up as science that Haeckel's claim has been debunked long, long ago. What he imagined to be the very early stages of the embryos he was depicting were in actuality far from such. The early stages betray nothing of the similarities he claimed, and evolutionary biologists know it. Then again, it would hardly matter what stage the embryos were at, for it has long been known that Haeckel doctored his drawings to give a graphic proof of his thesis. Another icon of evolutionary dogma was the series of pictures depicting the development of man all the way from monkeys to Homo sapiens. Actually, these depictions were the products of artists' imaginations, but were produced to look as much like photographs as possible. These pictures persuaded many that Darwinism must be true. They're still being produced today. They seem so realistic that many people take them as scientifically established truth. We came from monkeys. We're first cousin to the apes. Man is, in the memorable phrase of a renowned English naturalist, the naked ape. The fact is that the entire depiction is nothing more than science fiction. There are no intermediary stages between apes and men, and the cute little figures produced by evolutionists are the result of the mental conjuring of artists who have been given a few scraps of bone to work with. The non-existence of the chain of ape men leading from apes to men does not stop evolutionists from trotting out their hoary lie. They're still at it. Lacking all factual field evidence for their theory, they simply invent it. It must be true, because without it, their theory would fall to the ground. And this parades itself as scientific. We need to brand the evolutionist's lie for what it is. Indeed, we need to go further and tell the world that all the claimed proofs of evolution that have led countless students to accept its godless, mindless philosophy are 100% fabrications. Darwin's so-called tree of life is non-existent. The confidently expected and frequently depicted missing links have never materialized. The gradual development of life from one species, genus, and phylum to another is flatly contradicted by the sudden appearance of fully developed species in the fossil record. Amino acids are the, quote, building blocks of life. Note the deceitful use of language. Discovering something that is essential to life and gratuitously terming it a building block to foster the impression that life was built in some materialistic way rather than created, and that scientists have discovered how it occurred, when the truth is that no one has the slightest empirical evidence of this building of life. And of course, the acutely conceived development of apes into men has never been observed either in real time or in the fossil record. But as the saying goes, never let mere facts get in the way of a good story. Evolutionists are committed to their theory with a blind, idolatrous faith. They want it to be true. They need it to be true. How else can they justify their rebellion against their Creator? But a lie is a lie, and anyone who thinks that endlessly repeating it will make it true is simply playing the fool. Listening to Let the Bible Speak, which comes to you from Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. We're glad that you've taken the time to be with us today, and we trust that the Lord is blessing the program to your heart. Every so often I draw to your attention the fact that we produce here at Let the Bible Speak a quarterly magazine in full color that seeks to continue the theme of the broadcast and let the Bible speak on things that are important to the people of God. We leave it to others to fiddle around with things that really don't matter very much, and we want to instruct and edify and help God's people on issues of real importance from the Scriptures. Our latest Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine is available, and it deals with the subject of the doctrines of grace. Some people call these Calvinism. The doctrines of grace, those doctrines which seek to elevate and glorify the grace of God revealed in the everlasting gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I trust that you'll take the opportunity to have your free copy of the magazine sent. Send us your request and we'd be glad to add you to our mailing list, and we'll send you the magazine each time it comes out. You'll find it a blessing. There is no charge, and I can assure you, as always, that when you give us your mailing address, we don't pass it on to anybody else, nor do we ever use it for follow-up, giving one begging letter after another. We never do that. We don't beg. We are happy to provide the magazine to you as a ministry that we trust will be a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to receive your copy of the Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, you can write to us here at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Or you may email us at ltbs at freepres, freepres, ltbs at freepres.org. Or if you prefer, you may call us toll-free at 866-877 LTBS, 866-877-5827. So these are the ways you can get in touch. We'll be happy to let you have Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, and I know it will be instructive, edifying, and a blessing to your heart. This man, they said in criticism, Luke chapter 15, receiveth sinners. Jesus wore it as a badge of honor. And far from backing off from these lying hypocrites, he stood up and he said in Luke 15, in reality, yes, I do receive sinners. And he still does. The old hymn writer put it well when he said, none but Jesus can do guilty sinners good. That's a message we should never lose. These Pharisees, you see, that Jesus was condemning here, they were like the players in the marketplace in more ways than one. They were simply playing at religion.
As I said, they read their Bible, but they were still playing at religion. And I don't think I'm going too far afield when I say, if we are of their ilk, either living in bitterness, or if we are of their ilk that we're taking in all that the Bible says, but we have no heart for sinners. If we are not willing to be the friend of sinners, we're only playing at religion. That's the point that the Savior's making here. He is the friend of sinners. And He does do guilty sinners good. All that God has to say to sinners, Hebrews 1:1-2, He says in Christ. All that God has to give to sinners, Romans 8:32, is in Christ. All that God will ever do for sinners is in Christ. It's Christ who's the power of God. It's Christ who's the wisdom of God. It's Christ who has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and repentance. He is the friend of sinners, the only way back to God. That's the great truth that the Savior is establishing here in this passage of Scripture, and demonstrating as He shows Himself the friend of sinners. The truth in verse 20 through 24 of Christ, the only means of communion and communication between God and man, is despised. And here we see Christ as the judge of the impenitent. Now, these are big verses that I am only going to take a moment to look at. He began to upbraid the cities wherein most of His mighty works were done. Why? Because they repented not. Can you stop and let this sink in for a minute? We tend to think about sinners. Many a time we've even said this. You know, what would it take to bring them to their senses? And we think if there's a death in the family, or if there's a great tragedy or great sickness or whatever, people will start to think differently. There was a great deal of talk after the Twin Towers were knocked down by the terrorists that there was going to be revival in America. There's been no revival. You stop and think of this. The Son of God Himself visited these towns. The Son of God Himself took up His residence in Capernaum. And in these cities, He did most of His mighty works. Now remember, He has just talked about these works. He gave sight to the blind. He made the lame to walk. He cleansed leprosy with a word. He gave hearing to deaf ears. He raised the dead. And He brought hope to the poor. Now that's what He did. They sought. They thronged Him. And they witnessed these things. And yet these very people did not repent. What will it take to bring sinners to Christ? The miracle of regenerating grace. That's what it will take. Preaching to sinners is absolutely necessary. Preaching with the love of Christ to sinners is absolutely necessary. Reaching out to sinners with the love of Christ is absolutely necessary. But oh, let us understand this, that as we go forth, we need God to do a miracle by the power of the Holy Ghost, because all the preaching in the world will never convert a sinner. And even all the miracle working in the world will never convert a sinner. We're going to need to see the power of the Holy Spirit. By the way, that gives a great deal of freedom to those who are going to witness. Many a time you go out to witness and the devil will tell you, don't you witness because you don't know enough Bible. You could be tripped up. Or maybe you'll say the wrong thing. Or maybe you'll come over wrong or whatever. But this is to liberate you. You'll not say all the right things. You'll not do all the right things. You'll not have all the right answers. But so what? So what? The power to save souls is not in the genius of the witness. It is in the power of the Holy Spirit quickening the heart. And He is pleased to use the word that we preach and use the word that we bear witness to in personal testimony to men and women. So this is to set Christians free to depend upon the Lord. And as I keep reminding myself when I come to the pulpit, but I don't say this facetiously, I do this constantly. I keep reminding myself, and I hope you'll not take it as an insult if I remind you, that the God who could use a donkey to get His message across can use you. Can use me. That gives us confidence. We're not depending on our ability. We're depending on our God and on the power of the Holy Spirit. So these people didn't repent when the Lord Jesus did all His mighty works. So what did He do? He showed that aspect of His authority as mediator that made Him the judge. And He said to these people, first of all, I know your hearts. How does He say that? He says, look, Tyre and Sidon were bad. Sodom and Gomorrah were bad. But their sin is not as great as yours. He could see, understand, evaluate the sins of the hearts of men. And He's still the same this morning. You know, we're all tending to be very self-righteous. That's not a particular criticism of you or me. That's simply a remark that's true of all humanity. It's in human nature as fallen to be self-righteous. And we all like to tell ourselves that we're not as bad as other people. I'm not this, I'm not that, I'm not the other thing. And it's very easy just to say what I'm not without understanding what I am in the sight of God. Now, Tyre and Sidon were heathen cities. But Jesus said they would have repented had they had what you have. Then He comes to Sodom. Now you're getting to the dregs. Sodom stands for the very vilest inhuman perversion. Sodom was not just a sinful city. Sodom was a city given over to perversion, to homosexuality, to the vilest filthiness publicly displayed. And so much so they couldn't even blush. That's Sodom. But Jesus looks at Capernaum. Do you know what the main building in Capernaum was? Do you know what the center of life in Capernaum was? Its remains are standing to this day. It was the synagogue, the place of worship. The reading of the Bible, the singing of psalms, the saying of prayers. Jesus says to that city, you're viler than Sodom ever was. Now that's not to excuse the sodomy of the Sodomites. Remember, they were in hell for their sin when Jesus said this. It wasn't excusing them. But it is to say the judge of all the earth, will not judge man's judgment. He will not judge by man's prejudices. He will judge by his own divine standard and by his own intuitive and omniscient insight into the true state of hearts.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairn saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.